All right, hello.
Live in color.
Yes, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David. Oh, I forgot to bring up the TFWiki episode list for this episode.
Well, go for it.
What was it called? Fright at the Museum. Today we are watching Fright at the Museum as the 23rd episode of Rescue Bots Academy's first season. First aired March 23rd, 2019. Written by Jody Reynolds. Last seen in these parts written All at Sea. The one where they are under the sea.
Hmm. Under the sea. That was a good one. That was fun.
Better downwards one. That was
you know, like,
yeah, that was kind of standout of the season so far, maybe.
Last episode ago.
Nope, yes.
And once again, we are chronicling one of the team members' descent into madness.
Yes, in a descent into madness. I know it's happened in other shows. It's of the type, the sort of the boy who cried wolf kind of genre.
Animals. Go ahead.
I feel like the platonic ideal for a Rescue Bots Academy plot is a character's descent into madness.
And this does share some similarities with and they definitely did one with Chase. Basically doing this in Rescue Bots, and one with Strongarm doing this in Robots in Disguise.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it is often the cop character, or the officer of the peace going insane, but ended up being they're not insane.
So there's a strange new object in Rescue Bots Academy.
They are convinced it is a robot.
Always thinks it's a robot.
An Earth robot.
Yes.
Well, it's made of metal, so jumping to that conclusion sort of makes sense, but...
And, of course...
It's a little statue. It's a piece of art of... what's the...
It's Horace Burns. It's a replica of the big statue of Horace Burns that we've seen in Griffin Rock.
Huh.
Yeah. But it brings up... Like... Heatwave has to explain to these children that this is a piece of art.
Yes.
Well, a gift shop version of a piece of art.
Yes.
We kind of skip over that part. But it's really weird that they don't seem to understand what a piece of art is. They don't understand art.
You know?
This brings up more scary implications for what the hell's going on with Transformers society for me.
I have had in the past thoughts about this, because if there's one thing I think too much about, it's Cybertronian culture.
And you have
characters like Jazz who come to Earth and they're like, oh, this music stuff is great. Yeah. And it kind of makes you think, like, so y'all don't have any of that where you come from? I mean, I get Hound because, no, they don't have trees where they come from.
No, they don't have trees. Yes. I never quite got that thing with Jazz. It was just that, like, oh, the music of Earth is different enough from the stuff we have on Cybertron that I really jam to it.
Oh, no. It is firmly my headcanon that they have been so fully subsumed by war that they have effectively stunted their entire, like, ability to have culture.
Stunted, yes. But, like, music is, like, one of those such simple things that, like, somebody's going to be sitting in a foxhole making noise with something. Especially since they have pipes and engines and things. They're making music... to some limited degree, anyway.
No, then Laserbeak hears your position and goes and tattles on you and you get bombed.
Right, it's bad, but that's the story of war. Anyway, art, it's just a weird thing, because we know in other continuities they have, like, propaganda statues of Autobots and Decepticons.
Well, that's like, the one thing, that's the one culture you get to have in a constant state of warfare.
I guess?
Is propaganda.
I mean, part of it is also these... Our five here are tiny babies.
Yes, they are also tiny babies.
Yes, but also, like, this statue in itself is a kind of propaganda for one of the founders of Griffin Rock.
Yes, one of Cody's relatives.
So they should be able to understand that concept, unless it's they're just confused because it's tiny instead of being 50 freaking feet tall. Taller than everyone.
There may be
they know,
statues out there of some of my relatives, but if so, they are being rightly dismantled.
Yeah.
Well,
there's probably a statue of Seward somewhere in Alaska or DC. Oh, I should look that up one of these days. But yeah, it's like the start of this episode is like, kids don't understand art. Let's explain art to them. What?
So we're
existential. Yeah,
so we're going
crisis.
To Milford, and we're going to the museum there.
And then I Whirl, like that. Even before they get there, Whirl is like, "We're going to a museum. There must be a heist."
Yes.
Whirl clearly spends too much time off screen watching movies with blades.
Yes.
Which is probably what he's doing instead of being in this series.
It's true. Just in the screening room all the time.
Also in this season from his previous appearances, apparently just like binging RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't know, man. Which, you know, legitimate.
I mean, it's Blades. He's an ally.
Hmm. Yes. Look, I'm not saying that he's homosexual, because I'm not saying that Cybertronians have sexual orientations. I'm saying he's gay as a gender.
So yeah, she immediately starts getting, you know, her police gear ready to go to foil this heist, complete with a pair of robot-sized sunglasses.
Which she probably got from Chase. Even though he doesn't need them, because he's got... I mean, I guess his Rescue Bots Academy design doesn't really have shades.
No.
Well, all the bots and Rescue Bots had shades. Some of their designs have changed here.
Maybe they're just for when she wants to tell somebody to deal with it.
Yeah. Some of the bot kids have visors, like Fix, or Medix does. But
yeah,
the world
no. These just she just
these are just sunglasses.
Whenever she wants somebody to deal with it, she just lowers these over her face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Guys, how about we go knock something down somewhere else? Go on.
Just the twins getting in trouble.
So they.
Yeah, I'm looking at you. I'm talking to you.
So they head to this museum at nighttime because this is Milford, where people do not yet know that. The space robots exist.
They point out to specifically.
Yeah, it's still a secret in, well, it's a bigger town.
Yeah. And it's one of those museums that has both art and also, like, dinosaur skeletons.
Well,
you know, smaller town museums sometimes do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta combine multiple museums into one. Natural history and art.
I think the one in Cincinnati is or was like that, assuming it's still there in the building that they based the Hall of Justice on.
So they get in, and of course they've got a code from our good pal Chief Burns.
Oh, did I?
And
we lost Jen.
Oh dear, we did lose Jen.
I heard a doink.
Did the cats unplug something?
Possibly.
Oh dear.
She's still online, I think. Yeah, so it probably was a cat incident.
Okay.
Apparently there are lots of statues of William Seward.
Sorry, I had a brief technical hiccup.
Was it cat induced?
No, it was related to my power strip unfortunately having an on off button underneath it and me hitting it with my foot.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's entirely self-caused.
So they are getting in thanks to their pal and ours, Chief Burns.
Hmm.
Who I don't think he's not appeared on this show yet, but I believe he will at some point.
Just letting people break into things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem legal.
Well, robots break in. It's fine.
Well, you know, it's
fine.
It's robots. They have clearance.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, they start poking around this art. At one point, I believe it's Hoist who's wondering. He's looking at a piece and wondering what the artist meant to say, to which Medix answers, "Don't slip."
Yes, oh, yeah. Medix is on their way in there, too. He is fascinated by the bright red octagonal piece of art that they encounter on the street. And he is just fascinated with warning signage.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wonders if that guy coming out of the building is Art, but is just a security guard. Possibly he is named Art. We don't get confirmation.
And of course, Hoist is terrified by a dinosaur skeleton, which is the Dinobot of his nightmares.
Poor baby.
And there's lots of rocks and broken pottery.
Yes. But they're not alone. There's a janitor in here. And, so they have to avoid him. And surprisingly, the chief has made a real cock up here. He has forgotten about the cleaning staff.
Whirl is convinced that this janitor is actually doing a heist.
Yes.
She is ready. She is prepared. She is on to him. So you can tell this is Milford and not Griffin Rock because it's not the crime druids.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the mainland. But they may actually have a different criminal.
But nope, he's just cleaning. He's just the janitor. She just needs to calm down.
Yeah. Pushing around one of those little mop bucket setups.
Heatwave tells her that even Chase takes a break sometimes. At least that's the rumor.
Yes.
Yes.
But then, of course, she realizes that he's cleaning with an empty mop bucket.
Gasp.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which means that the crazy person was right all along.
Yeah.
That is always fun.
Kinda. It waffles between being fun and... Well, because she is being her own silly self, not, like, insane levels out of character. Which is when it's more funny when they are right.
Yes.
But it's cute. But, it's a long time before we get full confirmation that, yeah, he's trying to steal. In a weird way, because he's got, like, a contraption strapped to his chest that becomes... A Dr. Octopus tentacle with a little claw on the end of it.
Yes, because he's attempting to steal this enormous Horace Burns statue.
I almost thought he was just trying to steal the hat or something.
So, you know, sometimes when they remove these statues here in the South, they put them in museums.
Yes.
So wasn't the Horace Burns statue previously in the middle of town?
Yes, it was.
What did Horace Burns do to get canceled?
Unless this is a second statue.
Or a replica, maybe, but...
find out Horace Burns had done to get canceled?
Or was by a famous sculptor and it's just touring or something, but... Like, big metal sculpture is a weird thing to transport. But anyway, how the hell is he going to get it out with his dinky chest claw? It's a really long chest claw, but...
Stronger than it looks?
It's... very weird, because he never actually grabs onto it to lift it up at any point.
No.
Which was why I thought, maybe he's just trying to get the hat off the statue for ? Reasons. Maybe there's
also
a map inside, who knows?
Why is this statue so heavily protected?
Yeah, why that? When
there's a laser grid around the statue, and statues, normally you put the laser grid around things that one could just stick in a pocket.
Yeah.
Not, like, several-ton statuary.
Yeah.
There are a lot of questions about what this museum is up to here.
Yes. Especially since, like, who is it? It's Hotshot takes a painting off a wall and no security alarm goes off?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, one has to assume that any famous paintings here are just reproductions. Though,
yes, but
definitely in this kind of museum, you're going to see, like, local people. You're going to see a lot of local artists.
Or possibly touring art.
Yeah.
And so as he passes by, they're going to have to hide from him, and they're going to have to hide by posing as Art.
Yes.
So we get medics.
Hotshot is like... But oil painting is not one of my vehicle modes.
I mean...
When he says, will be the art to hide.
Could be. Try harder.
It brings up the implication that, maybe that is someone's alt mode.
I mean,
I guess the question is...
That seems like something that could happen on BotBots.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I guess the question is, is his ability limited to vehicles?
Yes, because like, because when he was given it, like, it was specific alt modes he was given too. Like, he set into the two new alt.
Oh, I thought they said anything.
Well, I guess he's got to actually come up with them first. And also, he's probably he's already used his today, so he can't get a new one.
Yeah,
it's probably he was probably a hovercraft again.
Well, remember they all drove up to the
the
museum.
Oh yeah, we haven't have we had confirmation that it's only his default vehicle mode and the other two? Like he has to pick one of the three?
I'm not sure. I think they said anything.
Yeah, because he can't. Yeah. He just has robot mode and then one other one per day.
Okay. Somewhere in my brain, I just assumed it was like, oh, one extra vehicle mode on top of your default one. But yeah, I guess he hasn't done car and something else.
Oh. How late at night is it? When does it reset?
I feel like maybe at some point we're going to get like a Gremlins 2 discussion here.
I hope so.
Okay, so what if he's crossing the international date line?
Oh, God. That's something that's annoyed me since Gremlins 2, that why isn't there a Gremlins 3 at a fucking airport?
Oh, no.
It's like the entire point is, oh, they're going to cross the international date line. What does that mean? That's so many jokes.
So yeah,
also, like the idea of just gremlins spreading across the world. That's a fun idea.
So they end up posing as various famous works of art. Medics is inadvertently posed as the thinker.
Because he's just thinking.
He was thinking.
Yeah. Wedge does the Mona Lisa. Hoist somehow gets a pearl earring and becomes girl with a pearl earring.
Yeah, he has that. I think it's implied that he finds it at the museum.
Maybe he found it in the gift shop.
Yes.
Oh yeah, maybe in the gift shop.
But he likes it.
Yeah, it's his color.
Yeah, yes. you defy those gender norms, Hotshot or Hoist.
He's a good boy.
And then Hotshot and Heatwave are Heatwave Shanghai's Hotshot into Creation of Adam by Michelangelo.
Yes. He's also been watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
They must have gotten a really fast art education in this museum from the beginning of the episode where they don't know what art is, that now they're referencing specific famous pieces of art.
They're very fast learners.
Was there an audio tour that they picked up?
Alien robots. They can learn fast.
I mean, I can see them also just listening to the audio tour.
Yeah.
Yes.
Honestly, that should have been a gag. One of them was obsessed with it. And just keeps listening to that instead of paying attention to what anything else is going on. Did you know that this was cast in bronze?
Anyway, so the so while they're distracting him, so they cause a distraction, and she sets a trap, and then pretty soon she captures him in like a snare.
Yes, the classic like loop that yanks you up to the ceiling.
Yes,
the best kind of trap.
Mm-hmm. Which that's one of those traps. It's like, is that ever gonna work? How?
I mean, presumably it does work.
Like having a whole net or a pit makes sense, but just that. I mean, I guess with a small, maybe a rabbit, but I don't think that's going to work with anything bigger than a bunny.
Yeah, you usually use it to catch, like, small wildlife for eating in the woods.
Yeah.
Because your soccer team crashed in the woods, and you all have to eat what you can to live. Whatever you can.
Using it on a person or a full-size coyote just doesn't seem to make as much sense. But here it works.
Yep. And so we're back at the academy, and Heatwave gives... she now gets the Horace Byrne statuette because of her fine work. But, you know, she couldn't have done it by herself, so she's... it's going to go to the whole team.
But Medix is satisfied with all of the art that he collected in the form of safety signage.
Yes. Hmm. All right, and that brings us to...
Why did they go all the way to this town instead? Griffin Rock has a museum.
Maybe not an art museum.
I guess. I
seem to recall it's just like the Museum of Science and Technology.
There was a science museum, yes, but I think... Wait, was there? There's a library, there was a science museum. They have to have some sort of art museum on the island.
I don't recall an art museum.
I think the only art we saw was in a historical context. Because, I mean, there were paintings of...
Oh, yeah, there's a Houston museum. So I guess if they wanted to go specifically to an art museum, they had to take the Space Bridge to find the Horace Burns statue, which is not in town anymore for some reason.
Yes.
For some reason.
Anyway, next episode, yes.
All right, that brings us to our next episode, Lucky Ducky. This is the 24th episode overall, first aired March 9th, 2019. This one written by Kieran Morrison and Mick O'Hara. Last scene around these parts, written Medic Surprise.
This is a good one.
The one in which Medics does not like to be surprised.
No, he does not, and you need to respect that.
Yes. And in this case, we're very much doing a version of the Red Shoes.
Threw me off there. It's a lucky charm item, yes.
Yeah. So we are in the Arctic. We're in like an ice crevasse.
Oh no, a crevasse.
And Hotshot is trying to haul them out of there, but instead he puts his pickaxe in the wrong place, and they all fall to their deaths. Except...
Oh, yeah, because we're all saying, don't hit the fracture in the ice or you'll shatter it. And then it happens again.
And then promptly exactly does that.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, no. And then they fall to their deaths. The end.
Yes.
Yes.
It is very much that kind of danger room cold open where you think that they're in this dire situation, then it turns out to be a training exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of wish this show was not like 11-minute episodes. It was normal-length episodes. Because they could have so much more fun with the Danger Room cold opens.
Yes.
So much potential for gags.
Yeah. Anyway, so they all fall to their deaths, except it was just...
It was a simulation all along.
Yes. And, you know, Hotshot, he just can't do anything right today.
Poor guy.
So he gets set to clean the courtyard because he figures, well, you know, I can't screw that up.
The medics. There was one cute little line where medics said that if they had at the end of that, they were all hot bread.
Yes.
And so says, you mean toast.
Yes.
I love a good not understanding human idioms joke.
Yes.
Am I drooling correctly?
Oh, we use the same one.
Yeah. It's the best one, really.
I do like those. Like, turns out this episode is full of puns. But yeah, that misconstruing Earth idioms because of language translation. That's a gag I like. As opposed to all the forced puns.
Yes.
About construction equipment and things.
Anyway, so he goes to clean the courtyard up, instead ends up using his sonic blasters and gets buried under a giant pile of leaves.
Aww, it's pretty cute.
Because he overdoes it as usual.
Mm.
But yeah, robots under leaves is adorable.
So everyone's all just, why don't you just play some Cube by yourself? But then he's bad at that too.
Yeah.
Aww. He is having a bad day all around.
Just not his day.
He thinks that if he's not good at Cube, he's just not good at anything, and he should just go fall in a hole.
Mm-hmm. But hey, Cody's there, and he's got an idea. Why don't you take this good luck rubber duck, Luke?
Because it's magic! Yeah,
that's right.
Magic lucky duck. It's very large.
It is. It is a huge rubber duck.
Yeah, yeah, it's like teddy bear sized.
Yes.
Well, because it's
cat sized.
It's in scale with Hotshot, as it would have been in scale with Megatron in Beast Wars.
Well, yes, that is true. But also, it's Cody's though.
Yeah, it is like your normal rubber ducky that you're going to get is like palm size.
It's a very large thing for Cody to have.
This is bigger than a football.
And sure enough, it does indeed have magical luck powers. He does the ice crevasse thing and everybody survives. He's good at Cube again. And then Cody's like, oh, okay, well, you're all fixed. Can you give me the duck back? And he's like, no.
He's like, no.
My duck.
I can never get this. This is mine now. It's now part of me.
He needs it.
And he's hiding it in himself, making his elbow squeak whenever he moves in a certain way.
Like, he blames it on an elbow squeak, but I was like, where does he actually keep that? I guess technically there's a cockpit in there somewhere, or cabin smushed in.
Yeah.
Room enough for a ducky, but weird.
So questions best left unanswered.
Yeah, that's the thing. Transformers always have, like, an extra storage space in them somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's questionable where and how big. Like, the forearm storage is very common, but that's for small things, little communicators. But this is a big, pretty big duck, about as big as his head.
It is a sizable duck.
Yes. Maybe he has subspace storage in his elbow.
But no, it is unfortunately, once more, time for a rescue. And in this case, an iceberg has broken off the Labrador ice shelf and is headed towards Maine.
Oh no! Ooh, yes. Geography!
And there is a scientist who is trapped in the iceberg.
Yeah, trapped in a crevasse, wedged between a rock and a hard place, or glacier and another piece of glacier.
Yes.
Glacier and an iceberg.
So she is going to be rescued whilst the rest of the grown-up rescue bots knock the iceberg off course.
Hmm.
So it turns out this danger room ice crevasse is going to come in handy.
I do have questions about the logistics of icebergs hitting a coastline, but I feel like they would just get, stranded a little way out.
Well, presumably the problem is it's get close to the coastline where boats want to be.
Okay, that's fair.
It's a shipping hazard.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with this Griffin Rock being such a coastal seaport.
Yes. So we head out there, and, before we leave, Cody gives Hotshot, wishes him my luck, gives him a high five.
Mm.
So where the initial plan is, we're going to use Whirl's winch and try and get her out of there, but her foot is stuck in the ice, so you can't pull it out.
What? Well, then you're just going to have to cut the foot off, or wait 150-something hours.
Instead, we're going to try and widen the crevasse, which Wedge tries to do.
Yeah, because the crevasse is, right down the middle of the iceberg, basically.
Yeah. But it does not work. So instead, Hoist is going to hold Hotshot's jet mode in place whilst he can blast it with afterwards, which will then allow Wedge to pull it apart, which he does.
Somehow,
he just wants to be a jet. He just wants every problem to be solved by being a jet.
Well, yes, but, isn't he pulling the iceberg parallel to the curve? Is he trying to twist the iceberg instead of pull it apart?
I'm not exactly sure how this is working.
Yeah, no. I mean, the idea of the robots do something to actually split the entire iceberg in half. Yes, that's a good idea, but visually it doesn't carry somehow. Something's off. I do like that in this episode we get to see the inside, cockpit view of all the bots.
Yes, that was very cool.
Yeah, especially since, who is it? Hoist has fuzzy dice.
Aww.
Yes.
He likes to accessorize.
I kind of wish some of the others had accessories like that or something. Each one does kind of fit their personality, but, I don't know, Hotshot should have had empty wrappers or something. Well, it's not like he eats, but some...
Yeah, maybe Wedge has, one of those little hula girls.
Yes. Yeah.
World may or may not have one of those Garfields with the suction cups.
Yes.
Oh yeah, somebody should have a suction cup, maybe a stuffed animal, something. It was cute that one of them has fuzzy dice, but everybody could have had something in their cockpit.
Hmm. Anyway, so they get back this scientist, who I guess now knows their secret, but did not have to have her leg crushed by ice.
Well, it's off of Griffin Rock, so maybe she was from Griffin Rock.
Oh, that's true. That's true. She could be a local.
Yeah.
So they're back at the base, and everybody's congratulating Hotshot at not sucking at everything anymore. But then he realizes His elbow's not squeaking.
Oh no!
My ducky.
And this duck is gone, and he says, "I'm ruined now. That was the only reason I didn't suck anymore." Which Medix finds to be terribly illogical.
Yes. Oh no! Did he lose it in the iceberg? Has it sunk to the briny deeps?
But no, it wasn't even on the iceberg.
But no, Cody says, "Yeah, no, I 100%. I totally just stole it from you when he gave you that high five."
Yeah, how the hell did he pickpocket it? Like, it's a really weird one-shot angle. Like, it looks like he's pulling it out of his crotch. It's very weird.
It's best not to think too hard about these things. Like in Beast Wars, when they'd pull guns out of places.
Yes.
Behind them.
Again, robot storage. Very strange. Well, at least with Beast Wars, like, their guns are sort of made out of their guts and things. Like, they're part of them. Usually.
Anyway, so yeah, he's like, yeah, the power was in you all along, Hotshot, not in this duck.
And Hotshot is an idiot.
Yes.
So he's like, no, it was obviously in the duck. And it's just like, come on. Please. Not used to dealing with anyone quite as dim as Hotshot.
No. But hey, they've got another rescue to make, and this time Hotshot doesn't take Luke, but Wedge takes him just in case.
Yes.
I mean, it's sort of very... It's a very much a standard plot, and they do it pretty well in, you know, 11 minutes.
Yeah. I like Hotshot at the end, at first being extremely resistant to actually learn a lesson.
Yes.
That's just entirely appropriate. Is he going to be like, oh, I see. He's just going to be like, nope. No lesson learned.
Of course not.
All right.
Yes, and there's a lot of puns throughout at one point. One of them says it was a cool rescue. Hotshot asks Wedge, what's the scoop? And I would like to know if that counts as a racist joke. Do we go back to the whole thing like we're being scared of Dinobots is racist?
Oh, I'm going to say no.
It's a functionist joke? Question mark.
I have questions. I have questions about the sensitivity of some of these puns, but okay.
Well, yeah, since the Dinobot thing, it's been... That just makes things weirder.
Poor Cody, not prepared for how dumb Hotshot is.
Nope. Alright, and that does it for our Rescue Bots Academy this week. We'll be back next week with even more Rescue Bots Academy action. But until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are on Mastodon and Blue Sky. And we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iconunderground.net. Where David and I have also been doing a pretty decent job getting back to a bi-weekly schedule for the news podcast.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, yeah.
So that is iconunderground.net, and we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iconunderground. For as little as a dollar a month, you get access to our back catalog of monthly special episodes. Soon after recording this, I'm going to be posting the March episode, where we celebrate the return of Daredevil to Disney Plus by watching the 90s Spider-Man episodes with Daredevil, where people who you think would understand the concept of a secret identity do not seem to be able to figure out the concept of a secret identity. That's just, I can't get past that. You would think that, like, if you have a secret identity and you're talking to another superhero, you can get, like, a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and be like, oh, that's who that is. But no, not a clue. Not a clue. And then for April... we have decided, even though we may be running a little late because the campaign has ended, but we are going to be celebrating Death Cobra's first actual figure by watching the one episode of Victory that he's in where he gets murdered.
That's right.
So that is, of course, always gotta watch the Omni dub because it's terrible. It just adds that extra layer. I mean, I did.
Do we?
I guess you could not. That's
fair. Of course we do.
Of course we do. What?
Maybe if it had more voice actors, it's got like three. And
that's part of its charm.
That's part of its charm. That's how I can tell when it's the same people dubbing like some random Godzilla movie from the late 70s.
Godzilla versus Megalon mostly. Yes. Or no, Godzilla versus Gigan, I guess, is the more interesting.
Or old ninja movies.
You can tell when they start talking about Jet Jaguar.
Yeah.
Jet Jaguar. So, yes, it's always fun getting to watch some Transformers, some Japanese Transformers with the terrible... I like the terrible, terrible dubs. Also, I'm sorry, but all apologies to Aaron Archer and everyone else involved with the property at the time. But the American subtitles, I just cannot get past them calling cassettes deployers. Yeah. And... I still can't deal with Chest Force. It's not right.
Fan subs are available.
Yes, I guess. I guess, but then I just expect them to, like, throw in random cursing for no reason because they think it should be edgier.
Or telling us what kaikaku means.
Spoilers for our Patreon episode.
Yes, we will get to that. But yeah, for as little as a dollar a month, you can listen to all of those. They are always super fun to record. That is at patreon.com/IaconUnderground.
All right, so until next time when we get some exciting sheep-herding action.
Sheep.
And we have our special Halloween episode.
Ooh, I love a good Halloween episode. We don't get nearly enough of those.
We do not. So until... The long-awaited return of a Rescue Bot's favorite.
Ooh. Well, we've already had Mr. Pettypaws back, so it's not him.
Ooh. Oh, no. let's just say I dare you to watch this episode.
Oh, shoot. I didn't even expect him to come back.
Oh, man. I don't know if I'm ready for great value Jeff Bennett, though.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt.
I don't think he's going to work without the voice. That's the entire thing. Like, the mayor I could still see working as a gag, because it's the mayor, but I don't think Huxley's going to work without the voice. We'll find
out.
We'll
see.
Yes. Next week on episode 420 of the Stasis Pod.
Oh, no. I mean, it will be April, so...
Yes.
Yes.
A couple weeks early, but it will be April.
All right, so until then, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David. I need to get up and get a flashlight because I lost part of an Optimus Prime Blokey! I found some Blokeys finally! Holy crap!